Open up your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Mark, Mark chapter 4. Now, as you know, if you've been around here very long at all, you know that just because we turn there doesn't mean we're going to read it. We will try to get there. If we don't, we won't worry about it. But in Mark chapter 4, you'll see this theme: the sower sows the word. Would you say that with me this morning? The sower sows the word. Now, in this example here, we see the first, the greatest, our example, sowing seeds of the gospel, Jesus. He's speaking of his own ministry, but he also is foretelling of our ministry before God. So that's found in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read straight out of an article. How many are familiar with Brother Andrew Womack? We use a lot of his. If you haven't, you can go online, and I want to encourage you to do so. If you are living your Christian life on one sermon a week, are you with me? How many know that you're not going to live very long in the natural on one cold snack a week? And I'm not calling my message a cold snack, but if that's all you're getting, you're not going to live very much strength in your walk with God. How many know that each of you individually have a responsibility before the Lord to feed yourself? And if you're not, then don't be in wonder at why you struggle and are so weak in your walk with God. Because Scripture tells us that greater is he that is in you. That's what John told us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He also says the ones that have overcome the world are even these, the sons of God who have believed on his name. So in you, inside of you, is an overcomer. But are you feeding yourself in such a way that that new you are you here today is released to do what it was designed to do? How many are glad for the new creation? How many are glad that on the inside of you, you've put your faith in Jesus, old things have passed away? Others might look at you and remember who you were in the past. Others may still judge you for who you were. Others may judge you right now because you don't know everything yet, and you're still in a struggle and in a growth pattern, and they judge you after the flesh. You don't worry about that. Let no man judge you except the judge himself, who has judged you according to the work of Jesus. So in his eyes, you're pretty awesome. And he wants to help the outside of you look like the inside so you can be his representative. He was the sower. He's called you, not preachers, every believer to be a sower of the good news of the Word of God. Everybody in here, tap your neighbor and say, I've got a job to do. Come on, tap him. Say, I got a job to do. That's a wonderful job. But I've got a job to do. Amen. I don't know where I was going with all of that, but I'm going to read Brother Womack's article. He says here, you can go online, by the way, and all his stuff, you can download it for free. I don't agree with everything the man says. Is there a man that you would? But I think he's one of the premier preachers of grace, one of the most balanced, powerful men. No scandal. No messing around, no pressure. Tremendous man of God whose ministry is backed up. And he's not the only one, many. But it's why I can freely, openly endorse him and say, look, if you're not getting enough in here, and that's why we got on that big loop. If you're not getting enough in here, you need to be attentive to this. You laboring to let the Word of God be planted in your heart so that after it's planted, you can effortlessly live this life of grace and faith. How many know there is a place of effortlessness once we have trusted, once we have believed, once we have done that, we let it, leave it up to God. Here's what Paul says. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Don't ever forget that. God's the one giving the increase. Aren't you glad for that? Here's what he says. A true revelation of God's word is the single most important element of a victorious Christian life. How many are interested in victory? We need a revival. How many are interested in victory? A victorious life. All right? The word of God often refers to itself as a seed. There are a total of 44 verses in the New Testament where the Greek word sperma was translated seed. This is the same word from which we derive our English word sperm. To conceive and give birth, whether it's for a miracle or whatever, you need it's for a miracle you need in your body or for the vision of God has given you, you must first plant God's word like a seed in your heart. And let me remind you, a token in a slot machine is not a seed. No nervous laughter. I don't understand. I'm not condemning anybody. You know that. We're Grace Church. But I don't understand people who still have this little lie in the back of their head. If I could just circumvent the process, if there were just a way around. And this idea, you think it's funny, maybe you don't, maybe that's why it's so quiet when I said that, because there are so many believers who naysay preachers on TV who talk about seed faith, which a bunch of that is nonsense. Not all of it, but most of it. It's sad that men prostitute the gospel for their own gain and tell you, if you send me money, you'll get a double anointing and your house will be paid off. That's ungodly, it's wicked, it's insidious, but more important than that, it robs the true message of seed faith. How many know God blesses the giver? That's what's more, what is the most evil about all of that is that it robs that and causes people to distrust the system that God said the kingdom operates by, sowing and reaping. Now, I'm not going to be talking about money yet, but I have an obligation. I mean, it's been a year and a half since I've talked about it at all. You know, if you've never been with us and you go, here we go, every time I go to church, they talk about money. That's because you haven't been here. Anybody in here can testify, talk to them. I rarely ever bring it up. The Lord told me not to take offerings. That's why we got a box in the back. That's why we barely mention it. I believe God's will, God's bill. He stops paying the bill, we must have to move on and do something else. I'm not going to ever beat the sheep and hit them over the head for money. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe God. He can give us ways of wisdom. All right, to accomplish what we need to do. I'm not saying all of that doesn't have a place, but right now we're going to talk about money. We're going to just talk about the importance of seed, sowing God's word. Are you here today? Did I miss a thought, or are we there? We good? Up to snuff? Okay. He says here, to conceive and give birth, whether it's for a miracle you need in your body or the vision that God has given you, you must first plant God's word like a seed in your heart. Conception, which eventually produces fruit, cannot take place without first planting seed. I constantly, he says, meet Christians who pray and believe for God's intervention in their lives, but remain frustrated by their results. Why? Because they've never conceived their miracles by planting the seed of God's word in their hearts. That's like a woman who prays to get pregnant and then is confused when it doesn't come to pass, even though she's never had a relationship with a man. The seed has to be planted for conception to take place. In Mark 4, the Lord taught three parables that illustrate that the word is to the kingdom of God what natural seed is to a harvest. The first of these parables, the story of the sower, is the key to unlocking all the others. If we don't understand these truths, Jesus said we don't understand any of his other parables. That's pretty amazing. There are many life-changing truths in these parables, but one fact must be understood to get the full benefit of this teaching. The Lord used the comparison of his word. Don't lose this. The Lord used the comparison of his word to a law of nature, which is unchangeable, not an institution of man, but of God. God created everything in the beginning, and he said it will continue through the law of sowing and reaping. He says, here's what I mean. Nearly all systems that people have created can be cheated or manipulated. The legal system can be beaten. Boy, is that frustrating right now. I won't get into that any further, but that is very frustrating right now. No matter which side of the aisle you're on, that is very frustrating. Pray for our nation, all right? The legal system can be beaten, letting the guilty go free. The educational system can be beaten, passing students who haven't really learned the material. But the process of seed time and harvest cannot be violated. Can't be stopped. It's what God instituted, not man. What if a farmer, and this is a question he's asking, but I'm posing it to you. I love these thoughts. What if a farmer waited until he saw his neighbor reaping his crop before he sowed his seed? Regardless of how sincere he was or the justification for not sowing his seed at the proper time, he would not reap a crop overnight. Can you say amen? No matter how sincere. The law of seed time and harvest cannot and will not be violated. How many know it's important that we sow seed? Amen. I mean, there's different. I don't want to get too much into this right now. We'll get into this a little more later. But how many can name a type of seed? Of course, right off the bat, because we've been hammered for so many years in churches, and those of you that have been raised in church know that in many churches, and in my church as well, and other areas, not here, thank God, but we had a whole separate middle service. We had praise and worship at the front. At the back end of the service, we had the message and an altar call and ministry. But in the middle, there was this whole other service, which was dedicated to the offering. And we heard it every week. How many remember that? How many are relieved to not have that hanging over your head all the time? Then appreciate that and obey God. That's all I'll say about that right now. We'll get to more of that later. How's that for not so subtle? All right, so here we go. How many can, other than finances, because that's where our mind goes, because the sheep have been beaten for so long on that. Some man comes along and says, I have a dream, you pay for it. But if we have a dream to honor God and to reach our community, we can trust him for our direction, for our vision, and for our provision for that very thing. That's a different kind of an animal. But that aside, how many in here can name a seed, a type of seed that we see in Scripture? Go ahead. Huh? Corn. How about a spiritual? That's absolutely corn. A mustard seed. All right. Christ himself was the ultimate seed planted in the ground. He said in John 12, if a seed is not planted and doesn't die first, it can't bring forth life. Bingo. Another one. Another type of seed. Intercession is absolutely a type of seed. Prayer and intercessions. We were told that if we pray for those in authority, it would help us to lead what? A quiet and peaceable life. I'm here to confess to you that I often want to shout and rave at my TV and smash it with something. I'm not thinking intercession. But I'm getting better. Don't look at me like that. You're the same way. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a pretty shirt? My wife got that for me. I like it. Praise the Lord. Okay, so, can you name another seed? Well, duh. Yes, the Word. And the Word is synonymous. Basic math will tell you that the Word is the seed, and the seed the Word, and in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when you understand Scripture, like I said, basic math will help you. I'll show you the figures some other time, but it'll help you see that in the beginning was the seed. The seed was with God, and the seed was. Pretty awesome stuff, okay? Name another seed. Huh? It depends. You're right. You're absolutely right. If you're talking about the confession of sin, that can be a type of seed. But a greater seed, actual seed, is the confession of God's Word. The word for confession in the Greek, found in the New Testament, is the word homologio. You can look it up in your own concordance. And what it means is to say the same thing as. So when we see God's Word spoken over us, i.e. Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many know where that's found? I gave you the first. There you go. Somebody said 4:13. That same little power-packed chapter has one all the way down towards the end in verse 19 that says, I can do all things. Do you know when we confess the Word of God, we are planting seed. In fact, that's where all seed with the believer starts. We've spent months on that. Speaking, that's where it starts. Speaking the Word of God. I get a bad report from the doctor, the first thing that happens when you've planted the Word of God in your heart is you say, I hear it. I hear fact. I'm not in denial. I'm not a Christian Scientist. I'm not a Norman Vincent Peale positive thinker. I recognize truth. I see the slides. I mean fact, not truth, fact. I recognize fact, but I have a greater truth. Now, if you wait until you're in the middle of the need for a miracle to start planting seed, we're going to join our faith with you. We're going to believe God with you. We're going to stand with you. The work of miracles is not limited by anything, but that's going to be a tough road to hoe because that's similar to the guy that waited until everybody else's harvest was in and then tried to plant and reap a harvest the same year. How many know it's seed, time, and harvest? Now, how many are glad for miracles? 1 Corinthians, if you want to write this down, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 enumerates 9 of what are called the manifestations, the gifts, the charis of the Holy Spirit. There it says, regardless of all the stuff that you hear, it says that in there that the Holy Spirit, God gives by the Holy Spirit these gifts severally to each man. There's nothing difficult there. To each man as he wills. Now, I will tell you this. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, which we'll talk more about later. You got the nitrous of Acts 2. But either way, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, you are capable, and as you lay your life down for the Lord can use you in any one of those gifts because the giver of those gifts lives on the inside of you. But Scripture still shows a way and an order, and it still says, and I know there will some that be disagreeing, we'll just have to disagree and be agreeable about it. I still believe, I've watched this pattern all my life, there are certain individuals who are used by God in certain gifts, on a consistent basis. And they're primarily these that are named as nine. Now, Romans 12 speaks of others. It kind of blends a lot of different gifts and whatever. But my point is among these nine gifts, you see different forms of ministry. You see that which you see in a congregation, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. You see also that which the apostles operated throughout the book of Acts. I've seen these things operate. Probably many of you in here have had them happen in your own life. It speaks of miracles. The working of miracles, gifts of healings, the gift of faith, all of these things working together. And I can tell you this, that I've seen that operate more in the highways and byways, on mission. I'm not saying that it doesn't work here. It absolutely does. But it seems like when you go to where people are lost, they're reaching for hope, they're reaching for answers. There's this great announcement. It seems like in the highways and byways, on the workplaces where I've seen the most dramatic miracles when I didn't expect them at all. I'll never forget it. Years ago, a young guy, we had literally I'm going to sound almost corny here, but we had a literal stampede. Large group of cattle cut in the wrong direction. I won't get into all that. I don't need to impress you with my cowboy stuff. But point is, though, we had an actual, everything going the wrong direction. And I remember looking out across, and I was running flat out at a high lope around the outside, had dogs with me, everything, and there were about six of us guys out around a big pine edge on the St. John's River. This is in Florida. And I remember watching a kid that hadn't been working with us that long over there, and he was in trouble. All I saw was his horse go up in the air, come up over top. I saw him try to jerk himself free. There's cattle all around him, and I watched his horse hit right on top of his torso, roll over him, and stand back up. By the time I got to where Eric was at, he was laying there with all of this didn't look right. It was all misshapen, and he was coughing up foam and unconscious as his eyes were rolled back up in his head. And I knew nothing else to do but to bail off my horse. There was nobody. Everybody was going in the other direction. And I don't know how long I was there. All I can tell you is I laid hands on him and I began to pray in the name of Jesus. And as a Spirit-filled believer, I began to pray in other tongues. And I don't know how long that was going on, but after a while I opened my eyes and here were two or three of these guys. They were beginning to figure out I was a believer. But when I opened my eyes up and looked around, they weren't looking at him. They were all going at me. I remember them airvacking Eric to the hospital. I remember him being taken back out. I'm not exaggerating, true story. Back out in 15 minutes, completely confused and perplexed. They didn't understand what had taken place. Completely. This is a true story. Completely confused. Now, I'm here to tell you, you think I'm bragging about my great faith? I'm sorry. There was a gift that's just as real on the inside of you. And I wish, now there are those that claim they can just pull that lever whenever they want and make the gifts happen. I've never seen that. I've heard guys talk about it, but I've never seen it. But there was a gift. that took place that I didn't have anything to do with. And several of those boys that day, I'm thinking back, at least three of them, all today are serving God. Are you here? One by one came to the Lord. It took time. That was a seed. It freaked them out, but the results were undeniable. Now, you don't know how often that I would love that God would do that in every situation. He doesn't. I don't know why. I know what His will is. His will is not sometimes to heal and sometimes to not. I'll pick you, but I won't pick you. His word, the seed, is ever present, ever faithful, ever plantable. And if you sow it in your life, you will reap the results of the kingdom. It takes effort to get it sown. But don't confuse the lifestyle of the believer, the sowing of seed, with miracles. Miracles are a gift from God. They're given severally as God wills. We don't really know exactly what's going on there or why. I don't. I'll confess to you, I don't know. I know when I had my accident, I was supposed to be dead in about 50 seconds. Most of you have heard that story. If you haven't, I'll tell it some other time. Compound fracture, femur bone completely broken too, severed all four vessels, main artery, main vein, I mean both vessels, main artery, all four of those snapped back up into the other part of the leg and clotted. They don't understand why I'm alive. They don't know why. I will tell you that my wife, and it's a long story, I don't want to take the time this morning, as she was in prayer on the phone with my dad, and my dad was encouraging her, and they weren't sure what was going to happen. They'd saved my life. I went code blue three times in the ambulance. They'd saved my life, but they were pretty sure they were going to have to cut my leg off, mid-thigh. And they were trying to prepare my wife. My wife was on the phone with my dad, and my dad began to speak the word of God. He said, I knew in my spirit something was up, and I've been praying. And as he was praying for her, she said she felt a literal garment hit the top of her head. Jackie will tell you, and some of you already know this, and slide down over her body. She said, I felt it physically come down. And she said, when it landed in place, this unseen tunic, she said, I had a super faith that lasted for 8.5 months. I was supposed to be in rehab for 2 years. They released me back to work, horseback, 8.5 months. They couldn't believe it. They still can't. I'm not exaggerating a lick. We've got all the records. 8.5 months when they released me, she felt that thing. Let me tell you something. Every one of us have been given faith. Paul put it this way, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live that life in the flesh by the faith. Listen to the kind of faith you have. By the faith of the Son of God. Can everybody in here shout, the faith of Jesus is in me? Oh, come on. I think you can do better than that. The faith of Jesus is in me. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord, the faith of Jesus is yours. Now, if you haven't exercised it because you didn't know or for any other reason, it may appear weak. But it's a muscle if exercised. Are you here today? How many know He is mighty and strong? Greater is He, John said, that is in me than he that is in the world. That faith of Jesus is not this faith that came over my wife. That is 1 Corinthians 12 called a gift of faith. It took her off guard. In a time of great trial, as she was crying out to the Lord, God caused a manifestation of the gift of faith. Not the same, for we all have the faith of Jesus. Now, I have a question for you today. It's wonderful to talk about the miracles. Believe me or not, I wear glasses. We just talked about Brother Womack. He hit 40, and it became a priority for him. He got every word that he could find. He began to lay down the word. He drew a line in the sand and said, "Devil, you're not doing that to my eyes." And you watch him on TV right now. He's 70 years of age. He doesn't have contacts, and he has no glasses. He said, "I'm putting the word to work in reference to my eyes." Mr. Shaw? Too much trouble. I got other stuff I'm believing God for. It's not God's fault. You're a little fuzzy. I can still make out who you are. But that doesn't change God's word. Whew, that's better. Now, the same guy with these, when I didn't expect it, I was on the mission field. 26-year-old brat. I wasn't a brat, but I was, you know, you're growing and reaching and learning and a little overconfident and a little not confident enough here and you're just young. But I had got a hold of a truth. I'd watched my baby girl poison with DDT, kill 6 chickens in the same swimming pool in La Ceiba, Honduras. Like that. She was full of it. I watched my baby girl be miraculously inside of an hour. A lady was praying across town, said, "I don't know why the Lord sent me here, but you need help." My wife didn't even know how serious it was. Her eyes had swollen shut. Her fingers were turning black. Her toes were turning black. All her bodily organs had shut down, and large purple spots were appearing on her skin. And the doctors would tell you that's when your body has stopped fighting and is absorbing. It's too late. You're going to die. I'd have got a hold of some truths. But I'll be honest with you, about the third day, that's my daughter Amber, the one we just went to see in L.A., which, by the way, thank you for letting us do that. And Ryan, I'm so proud of that guy. Every time I'm gone, I hear good things. And he's growing. What a tremendous guy. How I appreciate Ryan and Esther and their ministry. And kids are doing great, by the way. I think they're absolutely insane for living in that hellhole. My God, what are people thinking? But at any rate, in the middle of all that, there is light that shines, and thank God my kids are part of that and growing and learning. But my God, was I glad to get out of LA. That is just nuts. Nuts off the charts. And boy, they're doing good. Growing in Jesus. Where was I at? DDT. I knew. I knew some truths. I knew God worked. I was on the mission field, so here I am about 25, 26 years of age, and I've been out with another Canadian ministry. We're up establishing a Bible school up in one of the roughest parts of Honduras, no exaggeration, a place called El Lloro, which means the cry. There you go. That ought to tell you a lot. Everybody armed to the teeth. It's where all the outlaws ran to hide, and that's where we were. I don't know why, but we were there with a Canadian missionary, established a Bible school, worked, etc. We're about 3 days out, and I am stinking tired of hair in my beans. I'm tired of scrambled eggs and tortillas, and just the same thing. I'm tired. I'm ready to go home for some Jackie cooking and to be around my family. And even though we lived in an adobe hut with very crude features, Jackie can take any place and make it like home, and it was home. You know, it had a little bit of America in it, pictures and food. I was ready to be home. You understand? Out of the bush, home. So that last night, I had reached a point where I wasn't even, I tried to get out of preaching because my attitude was off. I was tired. You ever get peopled out? Don't look at me like that. Do you ever get peopled out? I was peopled out. Okay? And I remember that night, I tried to manipulate Karsten into doing an extra night because I was up to here. So when I preached, this is long before the message of grace got a hold of my heart, people, so cut me some slack. but my heart was in the right place. I loved Jesus. I knew His word was true. At that time, I didn't want to do it. At that time, I wanted to be in Arizona so bad I could taste it. But I felt like God was making me be where I didn't want to be. I'm so glad to find out that that's not the way He works. Amen. But I was there willingly, kind of unwillingly willingly, but it was willingly mostly. My heart was willing. You know what I'm talking about. That's why you laugh. But I remember I preached that night with an edge. Let's do this thing in 30 minutes, hammer it home, and get out of here. I don't really care what happens. I'm ready to go home. And I preached with a little bit of an edge. And when I gave the altar call, here they came by the droves. And I'm like, oh, jeez. I'm not kidding. I remember how I felt. I was like, oh, now we got to do all this. Do you understand where my attitude was at? And I started moving down the line. I'd seen Brother Hagin do it. I'd never done it. I always take time with people. I always love people. That night, I was stinking tired of this. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name. I thought, hey, he did. I saw him do it on TV. I can do it. Let's get out of here. I'm not exaggerating. Sally, I'm not exaggerating. About 15 in, there was a little gal that was looking up at me, and she had so much cataract, I mean, just gristle on her eyes. She just sitting there blinking. And I remember I did my rude, crude, get me out of here. And I get down here, about four or five people, and this little woman is over here making a scene. What the heck's the matter with you? And when she turned, did I get a whipping? I got a loving spanking from my awesome, wonderful, good God, because I didn't deserve it. It wasn't my faith. It wasn't anything I did. In fact, I was being a brat. I'd have physically whipped me. Oh, His love. He's so good. I turned around, and when that little lady looked at me, she goes, it's real. It's real. And her eyes are just crystal clear blue, and people are shouting and crying as she's reading the number roster in the back of that little crude adobe church. Can you imagine they had a wooden roster with attendance? You're like 56, 3, 2, you know, offering 20, whatever. In the back, she's reading it and bawling her eyes. I learned a valuable lesson that night. It truly is of Him and not of me. I also learned something else, is that there is a life of faith that we are each called to, that prepares a garden bed for the production of good things for ourselves, for those around us, for a future. We have promises. And that life of faith has nothing to do with that. It can produce more of that because of the culture of faith it's developing. But that is a gift that I don't have any control over. But you know what you do have control over every day? It's new to, never too late. I don't care if you're 80 and starting out right now. Don't you let the devil whisper to you and tell you it's too late. Today, you have a beautiful garden called the soil of your heart. It's never too late to trust God and begin to plant what Peter refers to by the Holy Ghost as the incorruptible seed of God's word. I probably will die and go on to be with Jesus and not have all this ironed out and everything fixed perfectly. But my life will have been of much greater quality as I planted seed in reference to His great and exceeding precious promises that in Him are yes and amen, the apostle said. It's going to be of greater quality and greater blessing, and living in this grace, being a blessing to others. It may not be complete, but it will be a whole different level of quality and walking in victory, because we have victory through the Son the seed of God's word. It's sad, but the church world today, and preachers, including myself a few years ago, looking for a way, a shortcut. If you do this, if you do these formulas, if you do it this way, about the time you think you got it fixed up and packaged and wrapped, it won't work. Because this is a living relationship. And He leads us by His Spirit. Now, there are certain parameters. These signs shall follow them that believe. You read it, starting in Mark 16:17. It talks about you doing some devil whooping instead of Him whooping you all the time. Talks about you speaking in other tongues. Oh, you're one of those crazies. Well, you better check out your Bible. You know we don't flaunt that around here. You've never seen anybody one time swinging off the chandeliers because we don't have any. But it doesn't change God's word. It says they'll cast out devils. First up. And it ends with, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We're so hung up in this lottery mentality of faith that we keep ourselves perpetually in a state of limbo in our faith, and we talk a lot and we talk a lot and we see it a lot, but it's like it's ever eluding us because we still got this mentality of lotto versus seed time and harvest. Trust God's process. Let patience have her perfect work. James says in James chapter 1, if you let patience have her perfect work, you will be made perfect and entire, lacking no thing. I want to encourage you today. It's never too late to begin to let the Word of God. It's easy to get tired of the labor. That's why we have scriptures, faithful, beautiful scriptures that say, don't be weary in well-doing. Hang in there. The Word is lovingly saying, hang in there. Don't give up. For in due time, your reward, your harvest is coming. That's the Word doing that. And we see that in many, many places. How many are glad for the seed? Here's a few seeds. How about kindness? Who said Thanksgiving? Do you know that Thanksgiving is a massive seed of faith? In times when I was the most frustrated, a little bit angry at God, if I was willing to admit it, didn't feel like I had been dealt a fair hand, didn't understand why I'd trusted God and now this, and I was in the middle of murmuring and complaining, frustrated with people. It's funny how when you get mud on your windshield, everything looks dirty. But you need to clean your windshield by the washing. And I've heard several times, once audibly, the other times more real than audible, I've heard Him say, Lee, thank me. And wow. You're talking about a seed. Because everything in me wanted to go, what? For what? But I knew better. I know His hand is not short. And as the words came out of my mouth, I watched our circumstances as a family, a dam break, as I began to worship Him and thank Him when I thought there wasn't much to be thankful for. So you bet. Mercy. You've heard this scripture. Many of you in here have been beat over the head with this scripture. You think it's a financial scripture. Every time you hear it, you think it's money. Many of you in here have pictures of a basket with money flowing out of it. Because all your life, you heard this in respect to money. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Are you enjoying this like I am? Isn't it great? Let me tell you something. It's never too late to sow the word. And the word of God will accomplish. If you don't dig it up in the process through worry and murmuring and complaining and fretting and letting yourself get caught up in anger, all right? If you'll just leave it in the ground and trust God, it's growing. And let me tell you something. Jesus said in John chapter 12, He said, unless a seed is cast into the earth and dies, there is a period of standing in faith when it seems like everything dies. And that's where most people quit. Not God. People do. Don't take that as a, I want to encourage you. Because He says, but if it dies, it produces life. How many are interested in life? Victory. The Word of God. I remember our kids, Rebecca and Amber. Seeds that were sown in their life are seeds that many years later are coming to fruition. I see my son-in-law back there shaking his head. He knows the stories. He's got his own. Don't ever bet against a mother's prayers. Ho, 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 buddy. That may be cliche, but it is fact. But I remember my daughters taping healing scriptures on their bathroom mirror. I remember a word that Sally Bates gave to my boy Levi. He taped it on his mirror. My boys learned, and my girls learned at a very early age, this stuff works. It's seed. Plant it. Get it before your eyes. Get it in your heart. That's why it's so important for parents, regardless of how tough it is, you establish priority in your family. Kids don't hear a word you say, but they see everything you do. We doing okay? Don't let what I just said now back you up and the devil start pouring in all the woulda, coulda, shouldas. That's not the kind of church we are. That's not the kind of preacher I am. But how many know truth sets us free? And sometimes it takes guts to walk the truth when everybody's screaming. But can you say with me, bump your neighbor and say, but in due time. Luke 6:38. And then I got to finish this up. I feel like I could go another 2 hours. I am not kidding. How many in here right now? Some of this is hitting home. Some of it's just good.
others hitting deep, others like it's affirming what you're doing. But aside from all of that, even if you're in here going, I don't know, in here, your spirit man is doing this. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's grasping for, it's recognizing, not Leaford. I mean, I know the Word of God works. Three of you know that. How many know the Word of God works? Luke. I'm like, Tyler, is that in the front or the back of the Bible? I love it. How many have heard this in reference to giving? Money to the church. How many know you need to give money to the church? We got bills to pay, and how many like air conditioning and nice place to be together, and how many want to see it broaden? How many know that's important? We'll get to all that. But you'll never hear me use this verse to beat you over the head, nor have you ever. This doesn't even have anything to do with money. It could. Here's what it says. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Good measure. Press down. How many used to see a big basket with dollar bills all in it? Come on, be honest. Raise your hand. How many used to see a big basket with, because that's what was beat into your mentality. Press down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom, to you, in a deep way. Okay? For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, the beauty of understanding the message of grace and new covenant, turn to your neighbor and tap and say, new covenant theology, everything changed with Jesus, is that what used to be addition, see, that's addition. I give, you give back. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9 that it's multiplied under the message of grace. Giving is multiplied back to you. But even hidden within this verse, although Jesus as a rabbi cites the law, what he says, because he's changing everything, is in conflict with what he just said. He just said, given it shall be given unto you, so I give. And what's going to happen is you're going to receive with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He's already saying the opposite of what when he cites the law that says, give, get back. That's pretty cool. Now, if you look at the context here, look at it. I love this. Verse 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. I'll tell you what, we have a hard time doing that in our own church bodies. And that's not even what he's talking about. How many know we got some weeding to do? By his grace. Beautiful. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Man, that's not easy. And unto him that hits you on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak. Now, I want to let you guys know something. If a guy just walks up and cold cocks me out of the blue for no reason, I'm I won't quit until he can't move or I can. But if I'm preaching the gospel and you cold cock me for the gospel, I better have enough Jesus into me to say, here's the other one. Difference. I'm called to protect my family. I'm going to stand there and turn the other cheek when they're threatening my family. Are you here today? A little practical help there. I probably made myself look bad, but let him who has no stone. Okay, so here we go. Give to every man that asks of you, and him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. And as you would that men would do to you, do ye also to them likewise. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye? In other words, why is there a reason to give you thanks for loving those that love you? He says, for sinners also love them that love them. Love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend and hope for nothing again. And your reward will be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the... Look at what he says, kind unto the unthankful. You thought you had it figured out. Me too. And to the evil. Where's that in religion today? Kind to the evil? Be ye therefore merciful. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Do you know that you can be merciful without compromise? That's another subject. I'm not even going to touch. I'm going to leave that alone. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Understand, this is all cloaked with the law, but the principles are still here. How many know it's no longer do good and get good from God? How many know we put our faith in Jesus and everything is mine in him? But how many know in the realm of sowing and reaping in this life, you sow stupid with your friend in town or your business partner and you're going to reap stupid? It ain't about God anymore. He loves you. He sees you through Jesus. But how many know the life of God in us should be reflected? This is why Philippians says, work your salvation in you out. Work it out. You want to work out? There's the most important workout you can do. Work it out. I got to find somewhere to stop. It's 11:45 already. You hungry? Me too. We'll sew it up here. All right. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be... That's the context of how many knew this. Next verse, give, and it shall be given. What? Do what? Awesome. Come stand with me. No, come stand with me. Sally, would you come stand with me? I love Sally. Praise the Lord. She's a pretty good gal, Pat. Because if you're here, I'll finish. How many are seeing what I'm talking about? As you go home this week, let the Holy Spirit just bathe and wash you over with His Word and begin to reset some priorities. In the name of Jesus, Father, I speak these things over these precious people. A reconditioning of our mindset that have a holy calling called the sower of the word. In that confine, yeah, there's the sowing of finances, but all kindness, mercy, faithfulness. We're going to talk about it. These seeds that cause our life to abound in thanksgiving. Why? Because we got a lot to be thankful for. I'm interested in having a lot to be thankful for. Jesus, and we'll look at this verse probably next week, said, if you're faithful over little, I will make you faithful over much. I think that's one of the greatest callings of the local church, and the church has lost it. It's all become about business programs, big money, big buildings, moving forward, public image, the whole deal. It really was supposed to be a family and a proving ground for faithfulness, out of which ye are yielded the fruits of righteousness and every good thing. How many are glad to be alive today? How many are glad to be under the Word of God? How many are glad you know Jesus? We're going to dismiss here in a few minutes as we worship you. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to remain up here. I'd love to just lead you in a simple prayer. Lead you. We had three people receive the Lord last week. Ryan the evangelist. What a guy. If you don't know the Lord, that's what we're here for. Anything else? We've got a prayer team that will remain here. We'd love to agree with you and pray with you. I hope you have a blessed week. I trust that you will. I pray that these things will tumble around on the inside of you like a ping pong ball in a dryer. You can't do it. And Sally's got a word.
Tyler, come here.
Come here, Tyler.
You can say thank you, Sally. You guys missed out on the second sermon. Tyler, when you were speaking, the Lord gave me this, and I wrote it down for you, and I was just going to give it to you, but the Lord, through today, began to show me I need to speak this over you as a seed. My son, know that I am well pleased with your offering, your life on my altar of giving. I am well pleased with the place you have carved out in your heart for me. As you move and flow with me in the miles ahead, you will find that you are not alone in the sorrow you have endured. There are many who have walked your path in their own lives. You will be healed in your own depths as you help them to heal in like manner. I have a mantle of healing for you, a mantle I have held over you ready to fall. As you step out, as you leave the bus and find that first person to pray with, that mantle will fall on you. Receive it and recognize it and honor it. And lo, I'm with you always.
I'm so thankful for each and every one of you guys, man. You guys have really influenced me in ways that you probably won't understand, but you guys are truly a part of my family just as much as we are in the family of heaven. So I thank each and every one of you. You guys are all beautiful, and I'm so glad to have you as my brother and sisters in Christ. So
amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Awesome, beautiful. We'd do this another hour, wouldn't it? So you better run like heck before I start preaching again. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We receive your word. You're planting in our lives. We shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. I declare in Jesus' name that we will bring forth fruit in season. Our leaf. I may be gray-headed, but my vitality is strong and waving in the wind. My leaf will not wither. And whatever I do, Tommy, I keep telling it to you over and over and over and over again, but if nobody else in here hears it, as we honor, whatever I do will prosper. That goes for everybody. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful